This is Joseph Farley Presents Life After Death, and it's being presented by Forest Hill Funeral Home in Olympia and Sheldon, Washington. Come to either location for traditional arrangements. Their website is forest-funeralhome.com. Phone numbers are Olympia 360-943-6363 and Sheldon 360-427-2604. As Joseph says, don't wait till something happens. Pre-plan. I'm Diana White Eagle. We are live on BBS Station 1. I'm co-producer and assisting is Ned Matania. And tonight we're dedicating the show to all the mothers, both people and pets. And our first guest is Dave Sledge, a skateboarder who's had a near-death experience that changed his outlook on life completely. Welcome, Dave.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right. Would you like to tell us about it?
Absolutely, yeah. So, I had a near-death experience when I was about 8 years old. So I've had asthma my whole life, and I never knew this. I hate to give spoilers, but I'm deathly allergic to cats, and this near-death experience was actually how we found that out. So I was sleeping over at my aunt's house one day, and I was cuddling with her cat all night long. I had no idea that I was allergic, and I was using my inhaler quite often, and it was late at night. And so, you know, my aunt and uncle were asleep. I didn't want to wake them up. And so long story short, over the course of maybe like 2 to 3 hours, something like this, I actually drained my inhaler of all the medicine, which is actually the only reason I woke someone up finally. And, you know, I just remember tiptoeing into my aunt's room, and I knew I was going to wake her up, but I still, like, I felt so bad, and I pushed it to the absolute last minute. In fact, I was actually already dying by the time I was walking into her room. So the plan was that my grandparents live right up the road, and my grandfather has another inhaler. So it was kind of like, let's try to go use his before we go to the hospital. No one really knew how bad it was, but it was pretty bad. So I'm in the back of her car, and this is where my memory of my consciousness actually stops in the car. But apparently there was another about 2 minutes that my family told me, so I'll share that. Apparently we make it to my grandparents' house, and they meet us outside on the front lawn, and you know, I went to take a puff of his inhaler and just fell straight on my back. Apparently that's what happened, but I only remember being in the car. Luckily there was grass behind me. It was kind of like a sidewalk with like a front yard full of grass behind it. And so the way my memory serves me is that I was in the car, and you know, I'll never forget, I had my head was resting up against the window on the left-hand side in the back seat. And, you know, I hate to say it, but it was actually pretty traumatic. I mean, at least obviously the way that I got there, you know, 'cause when you can't breathe to that type of a degree, it's almost like you're trapped in your own body. Like there's nowhere to go. So to be fair, it was quite traumatic. Obviously, I've moved on. It's been quite some time. But and then all of a sudden, it goes from being in the car, and then I was surrounded by darkness. But it was not like it was not a negative darkness. It was kind of like the darkness of space. Like there was a very neutral kind of feel to this. Mm. And off in the distance, I could see a white light, but it was like a distant star is what it looked like. And I felt as though it was coming towards me, but in hindsight, I was probably going towards it. And I was, as it was getting bigger and bigger, to the point where I could only see the darkness in my peripherals, which is kind of interesting because apparently my vision was working and my hearing was working as well. Because as this light grew bigger and bigger, it was accompanied by music, like these two notes I'll never forget. It kind of sounded like a choir. I was actually having a conversation with someone recently about how it's almost funny how it's that, you know, stereotypical, straight out of a movie. It's like the church music is what it sounds like. I'm not even particularly, you know, religious, but it was like a choir from like a church or something. And one of the notes was higher than the other. And yeah, it was as though I was looking directly into the light. But my experience on the other side was a bit brief. Whereas literally I just saw this light and I heard the notes. I knew that my hearing was working and that my vision was working. I couldn't really feel because I didn't have a body. And then quite frankly, it just snapped. I mean, the way my memory serves me, I don't know if I have forgotten, you know, some memories by now, but after hearing the music, I just woke up in the hospital. Everyone was in a panic. I had obviously absolutely no idea what was going on. I couldn't feel my body. But eventually, I don't know how soon after it was. It must have been hours. So apparently they told my mother to say goodbye to me. And I won't go I won't go too much into detail about that. But they literally told her to say goodbye. They said, we're calling time of death. I have no idea how I woke up. And, you know, I will say one thing that I regret is not seeking out the doctors that saved me. I always wanted to do that, and I never did that. Yeah, eventually they were asking me questions, like as I was coming to, so to speak. And, you know, they're asking me my name and where am I from. And one of the questions they asked me, they said, how did you get to the hospital? And I told them that my mother carried me in her arms and walked me to the hospital, which, you know, obviously didn't happen. I have no idea why I said that. And yeah, and so, like I said, my experience on the other side was brief. I have in recent months also had an out of body experience. I don't know if there's room for that in this conversation.
Sure. You can tell us.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because that's actually the other half. So the reason I'm doing this type of stuff now is because of the near-death experience. And then when I had this out-of-body experience, maybe about 6 or 7 months ago, mm-hmm. It was, you know what it is? I was actually very thankful and very grateful for this experience because after having a near-death experience 22 years ago, I spent so much time trying to contemplate what is consciousness. Where luckily for me, I have a passion for it. I enjoy it. I like looking for the answers, but you dig so deep so often, you always just want more. And when I had this out of body experience, I was actually very thankful. So this was interesting. It was kind of out of nowhere. I was laying down in bed. It was, I don't know, maybe about midnight. And, someone opened the hallway door in the apartment. Now keep in mind, that hallway door is sticky and it pops really loud. And every time that door opens, I kind of go on high alert because someone tried to break into my apartment 2 years ago, long story. So I just go on high alert and listen very intensely, but I just so happened on this night to be kind of in that in-between state of consciousness, like halfway asleep, halfway not asleep. And it shocked me so much. I jump up. And once I realized that I hear my neighbor outside, I say, okay, there's no danger. There was a lot of fear involved with this. It's all going to make sense in about a second. Once I realized there was no danger outside, I started laying back down. And that's when I realized that I was out of my body because I was laying down flat and I was still sitting maybe like 3 feet above my bed. And that's when I was like, holy crap, I'm out of my body. And I started descending. But I had no control over this descent. It was very, very slow, like the slowest possible descent ever. And it was very peaceful. And when I was about halfway down that descent, my consciousness actually started fading out. Like it literally felt like it was fading out of existence. To the point where I actually had a conscious thought during this, and I asked myself, is this what it feels like to die? And that's all I thought. That was the only thought I had the whole time. And right after I thought that, my consciousness, it was like it was dimming out like a light. It was very bizarre, but it was so notably peaceful. It's very hard to describe. And yeah, the second that my back would have been hitting the bed, I opened my eyes in real life to realize that my physical body had never moved. However, everything out in the hallway actually happened. I could hear this lady locking her door from the inside, and I was actually in shock to a degree. When I first woke up, it was, I mean, I couldn't even sleep that night. The first thing I started doing is trying to figure out logistically, how did this happen? Can it be recreated? You know, now I'm just like nerding out on it. But yeah, so I had that out of body experience, and it was almost like the last straw for me, like in a good way. I'm like, you know what? There's clearly more to life than we understand. And that's kind of when I started doing what I'm doing now. And that's fundamentally what brings me here with you guys today. And yeah, it's been a long journey, but it's a never ending quest for more answers as to what is consciousness. So.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm going to put a phone number in case anyone would like to call in with some questions. Any of our guests or myself would be happy to answer. It's 323-744-4831. Again, it is 323-744-4831. If you have any questions, please call in. All right. Oh, is there anything else you'd like to tell us?
Well, really, those are basically the two stories. So I don't know. I don't want to ramble too much. I know I'd like to hear from Brian as well. I know he must have an incredible story to share.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Thank you. And I'll introduce Brian. This is Brian Kahn. He's had 4 near-death experiences, and he's going to tell us, I believe, about 1 tonight. Brian.
Yeah. Thank you, Diana. Thank you to everyone. I will. So my first near-death experience, my best guess is I was around 3 years old. You know, you don't really know. You know, they don't, angels and beings, they don't hold up cards to say how old you are. So I was, I lived in the hills of Los Angeles as a small child. It's actually called Montecito Heights. I was at a neighbor's house, and where there's a pool. The interesting thing about this is the pool was in the front yard. I've actually gone back to my neighborhood and, you know, asked my friends that I knew about this house I was at, because it's changed now. At that time I couldn't swim. And at the pool was my mother and my father, and I'm the youngest in my family, and I had an older brother and sister who were playing in the pool with my dad. And my mom would lay by the side of the pool because she didn't know how to swim. And so I was going around the rim of the pool because I didn't know how to swim yet. And at some point, as I'm going around this pool, I think I was in the deep end, I slipped underneath. Clearly see a bubble of air leaving my mouth. And so I don't know how far I slipped under, but at some point, as the bubbles came out of my mouth, the next thing I knew, I was in a different place. And this is the best way to describe this. It's like it's a big arena. And in this big arena, I could clearly see like columns, but so it's like in the universe, because I could look up, there were stars everywhere. You know, there was nothing below me, like I was standing on, and the beings who were there. So my first experience was, as I was sitting on my Heavenly Father's lap, and I knew that that was who he was, because I remembered him from before this life. Mm-hmm. And so he was talking to me and just, you know, telling me I'd had some challenges in my life. And without going into too much detail, my first about 2 years of life was spent in the hospital, because I was born a preemie at a time when a lot of preemies. And so those were the challenges that he was speaking to me about. So there was basically, at some point, I went from sitting on his lap to standing before, and there was Heavenly Father, Heavenly Mother, or God, and then Jesus. So one, two, three. And they were before me, and I clearly connected to each one of them, and I felt their love, and that basically filled my spiritual bucket of love, just overflowing. And I felt warmth inside, and I knew them from before this life. I just barely clearly remembered who they were. And they were all very bright and had a lot of glory around them. But it was not, you know, I could clearly see them and feel and hear them speak to me telepathically. And I felt very connected to my Heavenly Mother as well. As so first my Heavenly Father spoke to me. I felt just overflowing love from my Heavenly Mother. And then the next person I was in front of was Jesus. And I knew who Jesus was. And he started talking to me about these challenges I'd had in my life. And in that moment, I saw a big screen. When I was a child, all we had was a black and white TV. And to see color was just blowing me away. And so in the distance, I could see the Earth from this, and I could also see other planets in one part of the area, and on on this big screen, which would almost look like a plasma or LCD screen today. There was the other parts of the universe that I could see. But as Jesus was talking to me, he was talking to me about, I could see the Earth in the distance. And this, like reverse Google Maps now, as he was talking to me, we were like flying in the air together, or flying through space. And then the Earth was coming up, and he was just kind of, this is the only NDE that I can recall a life review where he was, even though I'd only had a short life, he was talking to me about, you know, some of the choices I'd had. It was just interesting that I saw the Earth come up, and then I saw California, and then I saw the city of Los Angeles, and it was like we were like flying through the air to go to this place. And so eventually then I saw where I live. I could see the house that I lived in. So I live, this area is kind of unique, because what it is there's, instead of a cul-de-sac, there's a circle. It was literally a circle. And so the house I was up, my house was at the beginning of the circle, and I was about halfway up to the circle. And so I saw the house with the pool in the front yard eventually we saw the spikes. And the whole time during this experience, my body was still floating in the middle of the pool. And I just thought that was kind of interesting, you know, because I could still see the duality of here I am having this experience on the other side, but yet also my body's floating deep in the pool. And as Jesus is talking to me and we're flying through the air, it comes to a point where we're at the pool area. And one of the things that I can see, besides my family that I've spoken about, my dad's still playing with my siblings in the pool. My mom's laying on the side of the pool. There were two teenage girls that were laying out. And I don't really know how old they were. I just knew that they were teenagers and they were laying by the pool. And Jesus started talking to me about my parents and that I had chosen my parents to come to. And part of me was going, really? I really chose them. And then he started talking to me about my siblings. Now I had an older sister who was not there that day. This was basically just my older brother, my older sister, and then my parents. And they're still splashing and playing in the pool. And, Jesus talks to me about my older sister and then my older brother. And for some reason, when it got to my older brother, I said, okay, I was given the choice. I was told that I could stay on the other side, though my mission on earth wasn't complete, but I was a choice either way, or I could go back. And Jesus was talking to me about my brother, and I was shown close-ups, like a close-up of my dad, a close-up of my mom, close-up of my older sister, and then a close-up of my older brother. And when I got to my brother, I just said, yes, I choose to come back. And in that moment, I heard one of the teenage girls say, where's Brian? Where's Brian? And the next thing I know, this teenage girl pulled me out of the pool. And that's where my experience ends. And I don't remember anything after that. You know, I don't know how long I was under the water because near-death experiences are timeless. I do remember a few years went by and I wanted to talk to my mom about this. I went to talk to her, and she, you know, I basically said I wanted to share about my dear, when I drowned in the pool. And she goes, well, you never drowned in the pool. And I said, okay. I just kind of walked away. And then we had moved to a different place. And I went to talk to her a few years later, and then she sat down with me, and we talked about it. But my mother was the only person I had ever shared this experience about until I read the book, I can't recall the title right now. Oh, it's Closer to the Light, about children who've had near-death experiences. And when I read that book, I actually called the author to say, look, I had a near-death experience as a child. So is there still time, or do you want me to go into one of my other ones?
Well, we still have time. If you'd like to go into one of your other ones, it would be very nice.
Okay. So I'm going to talk about the one was major, where my life started over again. So in 1999, this would be number three. I had a near-death experience. So my first one was around age three. And then my second one, I was in my late 20s. And then my third one, I was actually 42. And this was in 1999. I was coming home from a business conference. So I was living in Utah, and I went to California for a business conference, for a week long business conference. And it was basically a place where people went to do whatever their dreams were. It was a very, very powerful business type conference. And this was I was actually staffing it, but it was a week long in Palm Springs. So on the way back, I drove back like on a Sunday. All I remember from that day is I remember the sunset in Utah, which was in southern Utah. And it was just very beautiful. About 8 or 9 hours when we switched. The person who took over the car, I guess he slept the whole way. And, you know, he, at some point, and this happened about 3 o'clock in the morning, but I was asleep. I do have a remembrance, like an image, like going into a 3 second video of opening the doors to a convenience store. And, you know, just like opening doors, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess later what happened is it started. So this is in December 13th of 1999. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning. I was asleep, and the car was drifting off the side of the road, and he overcorrected. We did donuts going about 80. And when the car got to the medium center, or was missing, facing northbound. It was facing southbound. And when it flipped, I was ejected out the moonroof. And I later learned from police reports that I basically went from shoulder to shoulder. And I probably hit 6 to 8 G's. When I left the vehicle, now experience where I saw the truck roll. It was a pickup truck. I saw it roll across the medium from a very high up. So I don't have physical memory of what happened. But I've had a lot of trauma therapy, and I was shown what happened. So when the car was doing donuts, I was my seatbelt failed, and so I was kind of hitting my head on everything, like hitting it on the front, the side windows, the back window. And when I went out through the moonroof, and I raised that up about 8 inches with my body on the way out. That's what totaled my car. Anyways, I was already deceased. And I kind of showed up on the other side. And, you know, my relatives, when I got there, my relatives kept coming up to me and they said, "What are you doing here? It's not your time yet." They would hug me. I would feel their love. And then they would go past me. And so both sides of my family were like, it was like a really long reception line. But the interesting thing was, I was a ways off from where I was. Both sides of my family were making circles. I saw these big circles. And I kept going to follow them. So they thought, oh, you know, I want to join the party or whatever. And when I'd follow them, they would stop me and say, "No, you can't go any further." And I had a distinct experience with a great grandmother that when I saw her, I was shown like on a genealogical type chart. When she lived in the 1700s, and that, you know, there were just, there was obviously not photography back then, but she showed me when she lived, and I knew how we were related instantly, you know, that telepathic communication. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, I love you. We had that connection. And she said, stay, do not follow. Just stay where you are. And she actually pointed, she said, see your guide over there. And my guide was just patiently waiting for me as, you know, I was going to the relatives. And they all said the same thing. What are you doing here? It's not your time yet. You know, and it's like, I didn't know what I was doing there. I was as surprised as they were. At some point, I went and had met with Heavenly Father, Heavenly Mother, and Jesus again. So I basically, so this indeed is different in that I had several crossover experiences during this whole near-death experience. I mean, I crossed over initially when I left the vehicle. And, you know, I don't really know how this all works, to have multiple experiences. When they took me in the ambulance, I coded in the ambulance. I had an experience remembering in trauma therapy where I was in the side, my spirit was in the side of the ambulance, and my body had coded. And there was a whole conversation with the ambulance driver and the paramedic in the back about how their defibrillator machine didn't work. It was broken. So they couldn't, so they couldn't work it. They couldn't put it on. It was broken. And I had remembered, you know, later on, because I've had a lot of healing, or a long term, over 15 years of healing. And I'll just say that in the beginning, a lot of these things didn't make sense to me, that I had heard conversations. I had, during part of this experience, I had an OR experience.
What is that?
In the top, you know, on the top of an OR.
Okay.
But I'll shorten it basically to say, and maybe I'll have to share the rest of us another time. I mean, I could just talk about this, but I spent about 10 days. My body was on life support for 10 days. So I remember crossing over, and I very, very clearly remember coming back. I remember coming back from my body. I remember before I came back, I had what I like to call the clearance experience, where my guide was saying, it's okay, it's time to get back in your body. And I was saying, that's not me. I don't recognize me. And we're going to go back and talk, because, you know, that's not what I agreed to. And so I had a whole conversation with my guide. And basically, he kept telling me, well, we're running out of time for you to go back to your body. And he kind of basically told me, go around the hospital. I'll wait here. And if you find yourself, you know, come get me or whatever. And so I had that experience of going to the hospital, and I could see people in beds, and I knew what was going on with them, you know, almost like without reading their charts, I just knew. And at some point, I went to an area where the quadriplegics and paraplegics were. My guide came to me and said, you're not going to be in a wheelchair. I basically was promised that someday I'd walk again. When I saw my body in the hospital bed, I didn't recognize myself because I was so beat up. I very clearly remember coming back in my body and how heavy it was, and it was drugged. And I was intubated. And when I went to remove the tube, it hurt so bad that, you know, I went back to sleep. I will share one thing real quick. So I was having a kind of a nightmare dream in the hospital and I figured this out later, where I was in this beautiful place on the other side, which I'll call the waiting place, basically the place before coming back to Earth. It's like the transitory place. You go there on your way out, you go there, come back. And I was up in a really high tree, and the sky was very blue, the grass, and there were rolling hills that was very green. And the trees, the sky, and everything spoke to me of unconditional love. And I just felt that overpowering feeling from everything that communicated to me telepathically. And so one side of that dream, I was in the up in the tree, just having a good time. And then the other side of that is I was in a hospital. The nightmare part was, I was in a hospital and people were yelling at me, you know, things like, you know, what's your name? And I just said, well, I don't know my name. And if you don't know who I am, what am I doing in a hospital? So when I woke up, I finally realized, I'm having that nightmare experience. But basically I spent 10 days on the other side and then I came back and then I spent about 2 months in a care facility. I had a skull fracture and a bruise on the brain. I had a broken femur. The right leg was broken. After I woke up, my doctor, who couldn't work on me until she had my permission, something about the hospital that I was in. I also had a TBI. And my doctor told me, it's just a miracle that I can talk, let alone anything else. So I had multiple brain injuries. And then the other thing that happened was that my physical memory, anything I'd done physically in my life, I no longer knew how to do. It's like that part of me got wiped clean. And it was like I was back to being like a 2-year-old mentally. I mean, I could talk, but I couldn't comprehend anything or understand anything. And I guess, well, anyways, I could keep going. I mean, that's just the beginning.
Oh, that's okay. This has been really, really informative. And, I haven't heard one quite like yours, but I've heard many, but you were so hurt. You were so hurt. But, thank you. Thank you. And, Ned, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Oh, good. Is there anything you would like to add? I would like to say that if anybody has anything that they would like to ask, call in. And also that Joseph wants to offer free mini readings by us, the medium. And if you would like to call in and get one, it won't be too long, but it would be very interesting. The number is 323-744-4831. And so if you would like to tell us some enlightening things, Ned,
yeah,
my guess.
I have an interest all over, spirituality, science, like all of that. And I think last time I talked about how I am, a scientist at heart. And so, I used to be an atheist, and because of all of these overwhelming evidence of experiences, I completely accept, I'm an open-minded skeptic, and I'm an honest one. And so I find it all fascinating. And I also, for some reason, I want to mention the solar flares, which is, people all across the U.S., Canada, even Europe, and even I think in Australia, have been seeing the northern and southern lights. And I bring this up because, I'm curious if there's a spiritual aspect of it. And I know that the mechanism of how these happen is because of solar flares, where the sun emits a huge masses of plasma, and it just fires it out, and it sends it out to the planets at a speed of about 2 million miles an hour, or kilometers an hour, and that means I think it's between 10 and 20 hours after it hits the Earth, and it interacts with our magnetosphere and everything. But on a spiritual aspect of it, you know, I don't have any answers yet in terms of if it impacts our physical bodies or etheric bodies or anything. But I felt like since everyone was basically enamored by them, I think it was on Friday night or last night, that, you know, I am interested in astrology and astronomy, but astrology in particular, because a lot of near-death experiencers have talked about learning about a connection between what's happening in the cosmos and what's happening in us. It's almost like the macrocosm and the microcosm. And right. In my studies of astrology, like, you know, something that I kind of hypothesized and I have seen is accurate is, you know, what we call a planet is a completely human artificial thing, you know, and Pluto, you know, I guess it used to be a planet and now it's a minor planet, but this is only a label. And so if astrology is real, it doesn't care about our human constructs. And I've seen the influence of asteroids, the influence of Chiron, which is I think it's also it's called a centaur, and it's a minor planet with an orbit between Saturn and Uranus. And it has a huge impact spiritually. And it's actually called the Wounded Healer. And I have it actually prominently in my own chart. At the time I was born, the sun was actually aligned with it. And I feel that, you know, for much of my life, as I often struggle to speak, it's interesting because my chart actually says this, you know, but in this is healing. And so I just, you know, even though it's kind of a tangent, I think it's interesting. And I bring it up because I feel passionate about explaining real world events or things like this and connecting it to us spiritually. And it's, I like that phrase. Has anyone ever heard? It's as above, so below. And I think it means, you know, it's that a connection.
Yeah.
I'm interested if anyone else finds any of this interesting or has a question, because, you know, I something else I'm interested in is how, you know, like there is an interface where our soul or spirit connects with our physical body, as Dave talked about, and Brian also. It's like, you know, at one time we can be outside of our body, and then at some point it's that reconnection And, you know, I think about it on that spiritual level of the energy within us. It basically comes from our soul. It's non-physical, but yet when it enters a body, it has to operate through the brain and neurons and everything. And what is all that? It's electricity. And so our cells run on this life force, which is ultimately electrons. And so, I'm like a spiritual scientist.
Actually, Ned, you and I ought to have some conversations. I actually know a lot about the creation of the body and the creation of the soul. And these have happened, you know, because I've had many NDEs, it's really hard to say where my spiritual guests started and, you know, where they came in. Because I'm also, I've shared with you, I have all the clairs. I can see and feel and hear and know. And one of my, my third NDE is when it felt like a garage door opened on spiritual gifts, where I not only started seeing beings on the other side, I started communicating with them also, which opened up a whole new world. And within about, right around 2005, I had an experience where I started communicating with the fairy kingdom, or as I like to call them, elementals. And that actually happened on a trip to Oregon that I went on. And that opened up another world as well. And so for many people, when I talk about my experiences of, you know, communicating, whether it's to angels or masters or beings of light, I do work on healing a lot of the relationships and pieces of people have passed on, because I can communicate across. And that is one of my purposes in life, is to heal those that are still grieving, especially from, you know, major tragic people who have also been ejected or passed on from that. But it seems that I've had great spiritual awakenings since my third NDE. And I'll mention that my fourth one was from some playing of sound of crystal bowls, which I'm too sensitive to be around.
That's interesting. And speaking of sensitivity, because I'm curious about this, you know, like our cell phones and our Wi-Fi routers, do you ever actually either sense those or get headaches near them or anything like that?
So when I used to turn off my Wi-Fi at night. I can't do it now because of where I'm living, because it's in the Wi-Fi router's in the ceiling. I can't access it. But I've had issues with electronics, like watches stopped working on me almost 20 years ago. They worked great in my dresser. They'll run great in my dresser, but on me, because of my magnetics, you know, I'm crossing over. Because of multiple crossings, they don't work. So long before we had cell phones, you know, there was a time when we didn't. I stopped wearing watches because they just wouldn't work. And some of these were self-winding watches.
Interesting. Wow. You
know, so the batteries would run out.
And I had issues with
electronics.
I've had an unusual thing happen to me when I got my new iPhone. It's a 14, and I believe it's a 14. It has a laser in it instead of a battery, and I got it in June of last year, and also in June of last year, my heart started into an arrhythmia that I hadn't had before. And I was in and out of the hospital with this, and they had no idea what was going on and why I had it, and because I've always been quite healthy. And I'm believing that it's the laser in my phone that's causing this unusual beating of my heart. And it happens on days when my phone's next to me. So I'm going to try an experiment of keeping my phone way away from me and to see if the arrhythmia stops, because I noticed that it happened right when I got this new phone. And that could very possibly be throwing my heartbeat off. And there's my two cents. Yeah, and I hadn't thought of it before. I thought about other things, but I've always been very healthy. So I'm going, what's going on here? And I think it might be from the laser.
Speaking of gadgets and technology, I remember a near-death experience, the woman, I think, grew up in the 1950s, and she talks about her experience as a child, and she was in like a different realm, they basically took her to a classroom, and in the classroom, she saw people at desks and working on what looked like a laptop with a multicolored keyboards, and her guide, he basically told her, you will see these on Earth in the future. And so, I think about how time works and how humanity, how all of us have like a path or, a future, but we might have a multiple possibilities. And so, I think about this a lot because I care about, the Earth and us, and it isn't about, humans versus nature or climate change and all this. Like, it is definitely getting hotter over time, but also like like how I see it is beyond, let's say, politics or taxes or whatever. I just care about, humanity on the Earth and a species, and it is a fact that in the past few years and decades, the extinction of species has been accelerating rapidly. And so I think about experiencers who see glimpses of a future or futures, and I think about how, all of us have our choices and our free will, and it can change the outcome. And, and oftentimes experiencers, they talk about how Earth is like a school. Like, it isn't only a school. We're also here to enjoy and appreciate, but we're also learning. And we can either, I guess, if everyone or if so many experiencers, they talk about the importance of love, and it includes for each other and simple things like not littering, because that isn't loving towards the animals or the Earth. So I think about, our possible futures and steering us or reminding us towards the happier ones. And Brian, in particular, did anything I talk about resonate or sound interesting in terms of future?
We've got 3 more minutes.
Oh,
I just want to give a notice so that in case you have a good story, we've got about 3 minutes.
Okay, so
So I'm going to agree with you, Ned, that the, you know, unconditional love is so important, and that come across to me besides in my NDEs, my post NDE experiences, where that's where the greatest enlightenment has come, is after the experience. I mean, I've been through 15, 20 years of healing, a lot of trauma therapy. You leave a vehicle, you get trauma. And I've been blessed to remember or been taught everything that happened to me through, you know, whether it was my doctor that I've had or through other healers that I've seen who have similar gifts to mine, where I was able to see what happened. But I also do have not only all the clairvoyance, clairsentience, I kind of mix up what the other ones are called. I have a gift with psychrometry, where I can touch things and know their history. I do that with like reading Tibetan sound bowls. I also am like an animal, people, whisperer. I also have medical intuitive, so I do healing work or healing play. But it basically is, it is about unconditional. I practice unconditional love. I let go of judgment years ago. And I work and I do bless people with love. Love and light, always.
What is your, if you have any visions or even just opinions about our future? Like, you know, some people see like a really bad one, some see amazing, some see more it's complicated.
So the future is always changing. Back in the 90s, I had a lot of dreams and visions about the future. But most of them were for me. And so I don't always talk about them. I mean, I've been writing a book about my near death and other divine intervention experiences, where I've had other examples of divine intervention in my life. And the things that I've been shown, I never want to see them happen, because I'm not real big on surviving death and destruction.
Okay, I'm so sorry, but I'm going to have to cut you guys off. We can have you back. So let me finish there. This concludes our program for tonight. I want to thank Dave Sledge and Brian Kahn. We'll be back next Sunday, 9 p.m. Pacific time. And a big thank you to you guys. I'm Diana White Eagle, Ed Matt Nia, and with Joseph Barley Presents, thank you for listening. Yay.